Thursday, May 24th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. We are right here in Denver, Colorado, and you know, if you're tired of the same old sports talk, if you're tired of the callers that just yell in their phones and they forget to turn their radios down, or you're tired of the arguments, you're going to like it here at the Daily Dose. You know, we try to look at the world of sports without all the emotion. We try to just look at things logically, maybe with just a dose of common sense. We try not to take the sports world too seriously because, you know, we prefer to just laugh at a lot of it. And we are very happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. Slowly but surely, we are plowing our way through to a holiday weekend. That is always a very positive thing. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show for any reason, we would love to hear from you. You can hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a suggestion. Maybe you have some feedback for the show. Maybe you need a little advice. We would love to hear from you. You know, we've got a lot to get to today. There are a couple of news stories coming out today that we want to make sure that we cover. We had a few things take place last night we have to make sure to discuss. And while the Major League Baseball season is still very early, we are starting to notice a few trends. Plus, as we do on most Thursdays, we will have a few sports media overreactions of the week, because it seems like every single week we are being told things. We are being given stories. They are telling us again and again, this is important. And on Thursdays, we like to take a little closer look and see if what it is that they're telling us makes any sense. Spoiler alert, it rarely does make all that much sense. So there are a few things that we've got to touch on today. So let's go ahead and jump in. You know, I'm actually going to start in the NHL today, because last night we actually saw the Washington Capitals come through in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-0 to advance to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time since 1998. You know, he has taken some heat, and we are always quick to point out the guy who maybe struggles in the postseason, doesn't always get it done in the postseason, despite the fact he has to get his team to step up as well. But hey, Alex Ovechkin played well. He scored a goal last night in Game 7. And now he has gotten the Caps to the finals, where they're going to be facing a tough team. Yes, it's an expansion team, but the Vegas Golden Knights are no joke. This should be a very entertaining series. These Stanley Cup final games will get started on Monday, but congratulations to the Washington Capitals. I didn't think they had it in them. They get it done in a crucial Game 7. Now, let's move on to those NBA playoffs. I mean, what can you say? It was another playoff game, and it was another snooze fest as the Boston Celtics rolled to what was a pretty easy win over the Cleveland Cavaliers. They win 96-83 in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. That gives them a 3-2 lead. We know that Game 5s can be crucial to these 7-game series. Now, Boston will have 2 games to win 1. But somehow this series still isn't over. You know, once again, it was a balanced attack by Boston. I know you've heard this before. And once again, it was a pretty uninspired performance by the Cavaliers. Again, what's new? Just for the record, in these 5 games so far, Cleveland versus Boston, the average margin of victory in this series so far is 18 points per game. You know, this series might be headed for 7 games. I have no idea, but it has not been fun to watch. And the NBA, at some point, don't they have to be a little concerned about how boring these games have been? I know the ratings are good, but those ratings will not last forever if the product every other night is just a blowout for the other team. The most concerning part to me is how many times these teams look apathetic. Like, we know, okay, in our home games, we're going to play hard. Okay, and then in your home games, we won't play as hard. Okay, now it's our home game and we'll play hard. Like, that is not that fun to watch for the fans. I know the NBA wants it to go 7 games. Can you try playing a little bit hard on the road? I don't even see the desire. I don't even see that much execution. I certainly don't see that much passion when they're playing on the other team's floor. It's a little bit strange to me, but the series now 3-2 in favor of Boston. Again, if I were Boston, I would not trust going to a Game 7, even though it's in Boston, and even though you've been unbeatable in Boston this year. If I'm Boston, I try to get this done in Game 6 on Friday night. I guess we will see if both teams actually show up, or most likely not. A little news coming out in the NFL, and I told you yesterday that I thought this was coming. There was a report that NFL owners were going to institute a rule that if players were to kneel during the national anthem, they would be given a 15-yard penalty. And I told you yesterday, that doesn't even make any sense. I don't even believe it. Yeah, that didn't actually happen. Apparently, what did happen is exactly what we talked about yesterday, because NFL owners have unanimously approved a new national anthem policy that requires players to stand if they are on the field during the performance, but does give them the option to remain in the locker room if they would prefer. Now, the policy subjects teams to a fine if a player or if any personnel does not stand for the national anthem. That includes any attempt to sit, any attempt to kneel. We've seen dozens of players do this over the past two seasons. They did this to protest racial inequality and police brutality. The teams also will have the option to fine any team personnel, including players, for this infraction. You know, I told you this might be coming yesterday. And while there are going to be a number of people, and you're going to hear them on talk shows today, they're going to say things like, hey, this is an impingement on your First Amendment rights. This is an impingement on your constitutional rights. Here's the thing. Just think about all the things that your job makes you do. Like, I have had meetings in corporate America about how many meetings that we have. I'm not exaggerating. Like, we've literally had meetings about meetings. Sometimes at your job, you have to do things you don't really want to do. Sometimes we have to do what our bosses tell us to do. Remember, no one's getting arrested for this stuff. If you kneel for the anthem, if you decide, I'm going to go out on the field and I'm going to display this and I'm going to kneel for the anthem, you might get fined. There is a chance maybe you could even get cut. You're not going to go to jail. Do you see the difference between constitutional rights, First Amendment rights, those kind of things, and just workplace rules? You might lose your job. You're not going to go to jail. There's a big difference there. These aren't actually constitutional violations. Again, I've had jobs make me do some really stupid things. I didn't have my rights violated. And if I didn't like it, there's always that big alternative. I don't have to work there anymore. We'll see what NFL teams do. At least now they are giving you the option. Hey, if you want to stay in the locker room, stay in the locker room. I suppose that's probably the best way to sidestep all this. Hey, coming back, it is almost June. And while it is hard to care too much about baseball just yet, because while they've been playing now for what, like 2 months? There are still like, I don't know, 6 or 7 or 8 months still to go, I think. Anyways, which teams in Major League Baseball are starting to warm up? And which teams are starting to cool off? We're going to talk about those when we get back. Now, like I said, the Major League Baseball season is just kind of getting going. I mean, we're what, 2 months in? And we know that a lot of times you really can't decide much until you start getting into that late summer. But I did want to just look, just real quick, at which Major League Baseball teams are starting to heat up a little bit. Which are playing well. And then which teams are starting to cool off and which are starting to struggle a little bit. Because while it might just be a trend, and maybe these are just temporary, sometimes we can look at these trends and we can get an idea which way their season is going to go. So let's take a look at a few teams that are heating up and cooling off. First up, one team is heating up is the Atlanta Braves. They have actually played more road games than home games, and they still have a plus 62 in their run differential. Now, if you remember the Atlanta Braves of the 1990s, what do you think of? You think of pitching. You think of those ridiculous pitching staffs. Well, and you also might think of why didn't they win more titles, but you think of pitching, you think of defense. That was how the Atlanta Braves used to win. This team now isn't built that way at all. These Atlanta Braves can score. They are one of the best offenses in the league. They have generated 243 runs already this season. And when you look at heating up, the Atlanta Braves have now won 13 of their last 20 games. Yeah, I would say the Atlanta Braves are heating up. They are definitely going to be in the thick of that NL East chase. The Atlanta Braves playing really, really well right now. There is a team that is cooling off, and it is right here in my hometown of Denver, Colorado. And when I say this, you might say that I'm crazy, because currently, The Colorado Rockies are actually in first place in the National League West, but it's more by default than anything they're actually doing because the rest of the NL West has not been playing well. So while you look at the Rockies and you say, well, hey, they're in first place. What do you want? Well, the Rockies are a minus 23 in run differential. They struggle to generate scoring. Their bullpen is not coming through in the clutch. And also, all of their pitching in general is just pretty average. Here's something to think about. Rockies pitchers have a 5.65 ERA at home this season. And Colorado is just 7-11 when playing at Coors Field. Now, that's not a good sign. Because one thing you could say about Colorado, well, yes, they might not be playing their best right now, but they've played a lot of road games. And that's totally true. They have been on the road a lot. But when they've been at home, they've been 7-11. So you might be thinking, once they do get home, maybe this team will warm up. But not with those numbers, they won't. At one point, the Rockies were 21-15. They have now lost 7 of their last 12 games. I would say the Rockies are cooling off, and that's a little bit scary. Because you would think at some point, the National League West is going to heat up a little. They can't afford to drop too much further. Colorado could be in a little bit of trouble as far as their season. They need to figure some things out very, very quickly. Let's look at a team that is heating up. And you know, we talked about their pitching yesterday. And I told you that I'm not sure whether or not to trust this team or not. Because when I look at them, they've beaten up on a lot of bad baseball teams. But the Milwaukee Brewers are in first place in the National League Central. And they have also beaten some pretty good teams too. They won 3 of 4 against the Minnesota Twins. Okay, that's all right. They keep beating the Arizona Diamondbacks. Like every time they see Arizona, for whatever reason, they just beat Arizona. And they won 3 of 4 against Colorado recently. Is Milwaukee for real? I don't know yet. But after losing 4 in a row to the Cubs last month, we looked at that and said, "Yeah, Milwaukee, they might not be as good as their record shows. Look what they just did with the Cubs. The Cubs beat them 4-0 last month." Since then, Milwaukee has won 12 of 18 in May. The thing I want to watch with Milwaukee, can they beat the good teams? Now, we just talked about they beat Minnesota, they beat Arizona, and they beat Colorado. I don't know if any of those three are good. They're okay. But we want to keep an eye on Milwaukee and see, can they win against the top-notch talent? I would say they're definitely heating up. They're winning more games right now than they're losing, especially lately. Keep an eye on the Milwaukee Brewers, see how they're doing. I'm going to give a team that is cooling off to the Los Angeles Angels. Now, how can I have the Angels on this list? They're 26-22. They're just 3.5 games back in the American League West, which is far better than anyone thought they would be. I mean, we were all looking at the Angels just saying, hey, if they're just competing, if they're maybe in the hunt for a playoff spot, everyone would be happy with the Angels. Mike Trout's playing pretty well. The Shohei Ohtani experiment looks like it is working outstanding right now. Why in the world are we calling out the Angels? Well, mostly because it seems like the longer the season goes, the worse the Angels might start to look. First off, the more that opponents see Shohei Ohtani, the more they're going to start to adjust to his game. And then there is the whole fact that the Angels have now lost 9 of their last 14 games. And that's not a good sign because you're about to start facing some big time teams. You're about to face the Yankees this weekend. You're about to face the Mariners and the Twins. Hey, the Los Angeles Angels had a nice start to the season. Some very, very good things in their favor. Now they're starting to cool off a little bit. They need to right this ship or this season, again, it could get away from them very, very quickly. They don't have a ton of depth. We'll see what the Angels do in the next few weeks. I've got one more team that is heating up, and I'm really, really cautious to put this team on the list. But I'm telling you, this might just be more of a gut feeling than anything I actually see, but it's coming. The Los Angeles Dodgers have literally started this season off in the worst possible way with all kinds of injuries. They just lost 9 of 10 games over the past few weeks. How in the world do I have the Los Angeles Dodgers as heating up? They don't belong on this list. Well, but Justin Turner's back. And Clayton Kershaw looks like he's going to be back pretty soon too. And the schedule is going to be very manageable over the next few weeks. You can just feel it coming. The Los Angeles Dodgers are way too talented. I do think that over the next week, maybe 2 weeks, we're going to see the Los Angeles Dodgers heat up, and there is a chance we could see them actually get hot. Yes, the start of their season was horrible. They've had all kinds of injuries. They haven't played well with those people out. But I do think the Los Angeles Dodgers are coming, and I think we can see that run even before we get to the 4th of July. I think we're going to see the Dodgers heat up. On the other side of that National League West is our final team that is really cooling off. And when I say cooling off, I mean they are ice cold, because the Arizona Diamondbacks have suddenly just hit the wall. You know, at one point this season, we're looking at Arizona and we're saying, hey, they look like they might possibly be the class of the National League. They were 19-7. They were rolling. Don't look now, but the Diamondbacks have now lost 15 of their last 22 games. Paul Goldschmidt is struggling at the plate. We have known for a while that sometimes he struggles, especially with the fastballs. But when your best player isn't getting it done at the plate, it makes it tough. I mean, Arizona's pitching hasn't been horrible, but they can't generate any scoring. Right now, the Arizona Diamondbacks, like, they are up there for the coldest team in baseball. Forget cooling off. Like, they're freezing cold right now. And, you know, we can't take any baseball too seriously prior to the 4th of July. I mean, you just can't. But the 4th of July is coming quickly, and we are beginning to see a few teams show us what we might expect to see from them down the stretch. Once the 4th of July gets here, now we're starting to really tell who you are as a team. After that, the weeks are going to start ticking off. We're going to start getting into late summer, getting into early fall. Now we're going to know, because playoff races are going to start to shape up. We're going to start to know which teams are which. There are a few teams that are heating up and cooling off, but now it's going to be interesting to watch over the next few weeks and next few months and see where these teams end up. You know, today, May 24th, is actually an interesting day in sports history, and you might not realize this. But it's actually an interesting day in sports history because we have the anniversary of one of the most bizarre things to ever take place in the world of sports.
What?
I know. Who knew, right? Today, May 24th. But it did happen. Let me paint this picture for you. Imagine for 1 second, we'll put this into a sport that maybe everybody watches. Imagine that you are watching the Super Bowl, okay? And in the Super Bowl, your favorite team, right at the very end, scores the winning touchdown. Hey, the confetti drops. The game ends. They celebrate. They dump the Gatorade on the head coach. They do the interviews. They spray the champagne. They kiss the trophy. Your team is the champions. They are Super Bowl champions. No matter what happens, they can't take that away from you. We win. We got it done. With everything on the table, we got it done. Okay, now imagine this. The next morning, as everyone's celebrating, the NFL announces that the winning touchdown that you scored at the very end of the game to win the game, to make your team champions, it was scored on an illegal forward pass play. So they actually take the trophy away from you. They give the Super Bowl trophy to the other team. They take all the pictures with the other team. You're sitting there going, wait a second. We won. I saw us win. We won. It all eventually ends up in court. And while in court, the judge looks at the film of the game. And the judge says, yes, your team scored the winning touchdown on an illegal forward pass. But the other team actually scored one of their touchdowns on an illegal forward pass as well. So you know what? Let's give the trophy back to your team. The other team says, wait, they cheated. They scored that last touchdown with an illegal forward pass. And you say, yeah, but you cheated too. Congrats, you both cheated. More importantly, you both did it intentionally. Now that might sound insane. And you hear that right now and you say, that would never happen. That's completely ludicrous. That's completely crazy. There's no way you would win a game. And then the next day, they would take the trophy back. And then it would go to court. And then a few months later, they would say, well, okay, we're going to give it back to you. Even though you both cheated, we're going to give it back to the guy we originally said was the winner. But that was actually the scenario that took place back on May 24th, 1981 at the Indianapolis 500. That race is widely considered one of the most controversial races in Indianapolis history. Bobby Unser took the checkered flag as the winner. Mario Andretti finished second. After the conclusion of the race, race officials ruled that Unser had passed cars illegally while he was coming out of the pit area during a caution lap. So Unser was issued a one position penalty, and the next morning, Indy race officials changed the results. Unser was dropped to second place, and Mario Andretti was changed to first place. They gave the trophy to him. They took the pictures with him as the winner. After it all went to court, there was a lengthy protest. There was an appeals process. It was discovered that Andretti had also passed cars. So instead of saying, okay, you both cheated, we're going to give it to the third place guy, they rescinded the penalty. Unser was given back the win on October 9th, 5 months after the finish of the race. Now, you might sit there and you might say, you know what? The NFL has screwed up some things. Like, you look at some of the rules they've done, you look at the kneeling, you look at some of the things the NFL has gotten wrong. The NBA has a few shady things that have happened in their existence. Major League Baseball and the NHL, they screw things up all the time. And we know that college sports, they've had some bizarre rulings too. We have seen all of the major sports have some bizarre, crazy rulings and some mixed up things and crazy, controversial finishes. But I don't know that any of those leagues has screwed things up so bad to the point of taking away a victory, giving it to someone else, and then giving it back 5 months later. When in reality, like I said, both drivers should have been disqualified. They probably should have given the trophy to the third place finisher. But you know, Australian driver Vern Schuppan, he wasn't as big of a name as the Unsers or the Andretti's. So they took it from Unser, gave it to Andretti, and then decided, we can't give it to him. Okay, we're going to give it back to Unser. Well done, Indy 500. May 24th, a day that will live forever in infamy. Hey, coming back, we will take a look at some of the biggest overreactions of the week by the sports media. You know, this week we've got one thing from the NFL and, of course, the NBA playoffs. Yeah, they're giving us a lot of silly things in the NBA. They don't make a whole lot of sense.
Ever had your milk delivered? As much as you need right to your doorstep? Well, that's kind of how blood works, too. If you really needed some, you'd expect it just to be there, wouldn't you? Enough for you or me, your kids, your mum, or your neighbour. But we require nearly 700 new donors every day to give a pint, just to keep the country going. Bleed for the things that matter to us all. Join us at blood.co.uk. Save a life. Give blood.
Just a quick reminder that if you do have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. June's Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Colossal because size matters, and June's Loot Crate theme is featuring colossal characters with larger-than-life collectibles and gear. You just can't get it anywhere else. Trust us, it's going to be big. It's got items from Godzilla. It's got items from Marvel Comics, from Ghostbusters, and from Jurassic Park. But if none of those franchises interest you, make sure you stop by Loot Crate because they have just about any franchise you can possibly think of, and they've got a ton of items for each one of them. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order, so make sure that you swing by lootcrate.com and check out some of the deals they have going on over there. Okay, like we do most every single Thursday, we have got to get to our overreactions of the week because every single week, you know, we like to take a look around the sports media world. And it seems like they are telling us some things and they're labeling them as news, and they're not really news. They're just overreactions. They're just silly things meant to try to get you to click on things. They're just the great hot takes. Here's a hot take.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, I guess it's a hot take. Doesn't mean it's a smart take. Might be hot. It's not always that intelligent. On Thursdays, we like to take a look at some of the big overreactions we get and just try to figure out, do they make any sense whatsoever? A couple of things coming out this week in the NBA playoffs. Of course, one of the things that we are hearing is that Cleveland Cavaliers big man Tristan Thompson, he is actually stepping it up in the playoffs. I know that all season he hasn't done much. And I know everybody kind of looks at Tristan Thompson and goes, man, he's just a big stiff, But right now in the playoffs, he's stepping up and getting things done so far in the postseason. Hey, Thompson has shown some bright spots. He's averaging 10 points and 9 rebounds per game in this series against the Celtics. For the season, he was averaging just 6 points a game. Hey, dude is stepping up. No wonder LeBron James wanted to make sure Tristan Thompson had a new contract. This all makes sense now. He steps up in the postseason when he has to. Wait one second. Tristan Thompson is averaging 10 points and 9 rebounds per game. But don't forget this. He is on a max deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do you realize that Tristan Thompson is on a 5-year, $82 million deal? He is getting $16 million this year alone. 10 points and 9 rebounds? Yeah, it doesn't sound quite as amazing when you put it that way, does it? Like, he should be doing way more than that. 10 points and 9 rebounds, is that all? And what have you been doing all year? Why were you only getting 6 points a game all year? You've been soaking up that contract and getting nothing. Again, I understand LeBron James hasn't always had the best surrounding talent. Deals like this make you kind of question, why not? Some of it is because he did pick and choose these guys. He wanted Tristan Thompson. He wanted him to have a max deal. Well, here you go. Is he stepping up a little more than the regular season? Yes. Is he worth $84 million? Not even close. Another one that we were hearing, and of course we were really hearing this, coming out of the Boston media after games 1 and games 2 between the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers. But people were starting to say, you know, the Boston Celtics are getting such good play from Terry Rozier. Maybe they look at dealing Kyrie Irving. Like, why are you paying Kyrie Irving all of this money? Terry Rozier is just as good. And it just stands out to me. We overreact so much to one single game in these 7-game series, don't we? I mean, think back. After the Golden State Warriors won game 1 in Houston. Do you remember that? They went into Houston. They win game 1. Everyone was saying what? Oh, this is going to be a sweep. This isn't even going to be close. This is going to be a blowout series. This will be done in 4 games, 5 max. Yeah, maybe not. When the Boston Celtics beat Cleveland in games 1 and 2, same thing. Oh, this might be a sweep. Every single game, we hear these crazy overreactions and the media is telling us things that don't make any sense. And they're just based on one game. Hey, Terry Rozier has been very solid in the postseason. He has given the Celtics 13, 14 points a game. He's giving them like 5 assists a game. But I'm sorry, I'm taking Kyrie Irving if he's healthy. In his career, in the postseason, Kyrie Irving doesn't give you 13 points a game. He averages 23 points a game. Do you think that extra 10 points would come in handy at all right now with Boston facing Cleveland? Yeah, I have a feeling he would have been a big help. You can sit there and act like Terry Rozier is better than Kyrie or just as good as Kyrie. Hey, Kyrie Irving is a special player. You can't just plug someone else in and they just look better than him. Terry Rozier has been very, very good as a backup point guard. Just don't forget, he still looks like a backup point guard. I'd rather have Kyrie. And also don't forget one other thing. Kyrie Irving hit the biggest shot in Cleveland Cavaliers history. Never forget that. Final overreaction of the week that we have comes from the NFL. And to be completely transparent, I don't even know where to come in on this. And that is that New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady missing the voluntary OTAs for the Patriots is a sign that things are changing for this franchise. And you know what? This is kind of a weird one. Because if you think, or if these writers think, or if the media thinks Tom Brady missing voluntary OTAs is going to affect his play on the field, yeah, you're probably delusional. That might be wishful thinking. It isn't going to affect one single thing on the field this year. He knows that offense backwards, forwards, sideways. It doesn't matter. It's not going to be about that. The one thing I do wonder, what the other guys on the team are going to look at him and think. How come we all had to be here? Like, there's 64 guys here. Why is Tom Brady not here? It also does make you wonder, what is his commitment level to this team? And I don't question whether or not he's going to come out and play well this year. I think he's going to come out and play just like he always does. He's going to be at an MVP level this year. It does make me wonder, could Tom Brady be thinking about calling it a career? Is he about done with all this? Because he's always been at OTAs in the past. Is it going to affect the season and all of a sudden we're going to see the Patriots go 6-10? I don't think so. Are we starting to see maybe a little bit of a change in Tom Brady? Yeah, possibly. Hey, he's married. Maybe his wife told him, you're staying home. Remember, she makes more money than he does. That part of it could be a little bit of a change. I'm not going to sit there and say the Patriots are going to go in the tank because he didn't show up to OTAs. That's ludicrous. Could it be a change? Yeah, possibly. It's going to be very, very interesting to watch the New England Patriots this year. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and of course, we will be looking at the latest and greatest sports news and stories. We will have our preview for the weekend in sports. Plus, as we do nearly every single Friday, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. You know that you've got to tune in for that. I have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions and the suggestions, the tweets, the Facebook shares. It is all very appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.